Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. I am Shane Bacon, joined. You were so close not too long ago, Max. Now you're in Ohio. It happened so quickly.
It happened. Planes, man. Planes, trains, and automobiles. What a world we live in.
You didn't have the sponsorship deal like Phil Mickelson announced today, his new private plane sponsorship deal. What is the over-under on you having a flight company on your collar? I'm going to say, let's say Feb of 2022.
Oh, you almost said 21. I'm going to say July 2021.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Phil's sponsorship with Vista, the Vista Jets or whatever.
You know the name. I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, I saw his jet leaving Travelers last week. It was humongous, like the biggest ever.
If anybody out there that works for that company is listening, Max Homa has a part of his collar completely open with your name on it, if the price is right. Max, I just got done. The reason we're recording on Monday, I just got done trying to qualify for the Arizona Open, successfully qualifying. I got in.
Hell yes.
I was like Tiger at Hoylake today, man. I was so locked in
Surgical. To
the process. I was hitting irons and three woods off tees. I hit a couple of drivers. I made one bogey. It was my last hole, and it was kind of a set myself up for a bogey because it was probably the weirdest hole in the golf course. But I felt like I was, however Tiger felt that year at the Open, I felt 2% of that Tiger.
God,
today,
I was really hoping you weren't going too far into that.
That's as close as I'll ever get is 2%, and I'm happy with that.
Speaking of that, we're still talking about it today, but I feel like after that Open, so many people, myself included, like I went to the golf course the next day. I'm playing like, you know, a soggy, soft, like normal California golf course. And I'm playing like, you know what? It's just a stinger two iron. It's obviously just a stinger two iron. I'm going to keep hitting four and five iron. And, you know, I don't remember how old I was, but then I'd miss the green with the four iron like four or five times in a row. And I'd be like, yeah, I'm four over. Like this system ain't working. I think I'm going to go driver wedge again. But it was such like artwork that you wanted to be like that.
The stinger, I remember when I was in high school and the stinger became this shot everybody.
Well, probably originated back then.
Well, yeah, it was hickories and this feather stuffed golf ball. But I went to my instructor, Peter Winkler, shout out, and I said, how do you hit a two iron stinger? And once I kind of got the driver yips, that's the shot I hit for years. So
absolutely.
I followed the Hoylake manuscript, if you will, for about a decade after
that. Did Tiger call you and ask you how to play the ball along the ground better? And you're like, hey, you know, I've been doing this for years.
I said it helps if whoever you're playing against wears all yellow, like a real light shade
of
yellow.
That's my favorite outfit.
That will help the situation. But yeah, man, I got in. I'm fired.
I'm proud of you, man.
The only problem is I've got to find a caddy now because apparently you have to have a caddy.
What's
in this
the date?
The 3rd through the 5th of August. I don't want you to
care.
You got too much stuff going on. It's got to be like major week.
It might be PGA week. If it's not, we did this already. If it's not, I'm there.
It's 3 days, man. You know, when you got your time off.
I love caddying.
You're really good at caddying.
Thank you, man. But I really enjoy it. Yeah, suck it, Rusty. I know you caddied after me.
Rusty, I was just about to say apologies to Rusty. You already said he'd fly out. But I do find it just ridiculous that I can't carry my own bag.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
I mean, you
really
have
dumb.
To have a caddy. I don't have enough friends that are at our age now can just take the week off. The event's a Monday through Wednesday.
Yeah,
that's a tough ask.
It's not like, you know, we have a bunch of people full time professional golf schedule here that could like, you know, you would have to just explain to your buddies like, hey, you know, I know you have a real job. I know we're still like real adults, but I need you to loop for me 3 days in a row. Maybe get a new guy every day.
And then, of course, what happens as you run into all the time is you get all these random people on social media
yes.
that reach out and go, I'll caddy. And you're like, you understand this isn't anything against you, but you understand that a random person caddying for me doesn't sound like my favorite 5 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like what I want.
It's like going to dinner by yourself, getting a booth seat and then someone saying, hey, I'll join. Like, you might be a lovely person, but that wasn't my plan. Like, it's going to be a little bit more work than just sitting and eating.
Did you watch the Aziz show, Masters of None, on Netflix? Did you ever watch that?
Got through like an episode and a half, and I really like him, but I don't know why I didn't keep watching.
Oh, man. Season two is one of my most rewatched shows on Netflix, but there's a part in early season two where two random people, including Aziz, asked to be seated at the same table, and the conversation is exactly like what I feel like if someone came up and asked you or I if they could sit with us. It would be a lot of... You know, man, like I might have, there might be somebody showing up. A friend texted me. They might be in the area. Who knows? But eating alone, very underrated.
Going to movies
alone, also underrated. And as I've said on Twitter, playing golf alone, I've decided I used to hate it. Now I'm a little,
I'm still in the hate golf alone, but the other two, I'm huge. As I've mentioned, I think on this before, back on the web, corner seat at the bar at Outback. You can find me there about six nights a week. I loved it.
All right, so enough of my golf, because I want to get into the golf. You were off this week. You got a chance to. Did you see much of it? Did you watch much of the?
I was it really the Rocket only Mortgage? Saw. Yeah, the Rocket Mortgage. Shout out 313 Eminem. I watched, which is odd. I usually watch quite a bit of golf. I watched the beginning of like Bryson and Matt Wolf and Ryan Armour play Sunday's like final round. So I saw like the first four or five holes. The rest I just would see, you know, the little highlights here and there. Look, I really like the course. Little outdated in the sense that the bunkering is just a little too short. Like,
it's
the covers are too short.
They're 290 max.
Yeah, I mean, but like when it's hot or whatever, and the way people hit it now, it's not long enough. And then if you can get it over those, I will say, you know, certain people like still can't carry them. Ryan Armour, I don't think covers 290, but he, you know, he's very accurate and obviously a phenomenal player. So, you know, he played great, but the golf course, I just remember last year, if you could fly at 295, you could get past a lot of stuff. The rough's thick. But there, I don't know. I tweeted about it, and I'm going to talk about this, but I tweeted about the penalty essentially, or I implied the penalty of missing the fairway just isn't high enough. And I guess one of the points of that is I don't know the answer. I couldn't tell you what to do to make that harder, because the rough length was quite thick. Or at least I think it was, because we played it quite thick there last year. It becomes almost predictable how it comes out of rough like that. Whereas Bermuda, like the reason Bay Hill played so hard is because it has decently thick rough, nothing crazy, but Bermuda rough is incredibly hard to judge and guess. And like, it's a serious guessing game. So all of a sudden everything becomes much more difficult, but yeah, I didn't think the golf course was going to get eaten up like that. But I will say I played with Cameron Champ there the first 2 days last year. And for 27 holes, I've never seen golf look easier. And he is one of the, you know, two longest guys on the PGA Tour. Now this year you see the, you know, the other of the two longest guys, Bryson DeChambeau, from what I saw, it looked fairly easy. I watched, like I said, four or five holes of his, and I don't know if he had hit a fairway through five, and he was four under, three or four under. So he's unbelievable. Like, he's hitting it so far and pretty accurate, which is impressive. But he's putting is the most underrated thing going, and it has been for 3 years. I guess that's what's kind of nice to see, is people have, your couch watching golfer, your what's it called, like your Sunday golf watcher, who doesn't, you know, do a ton of research, which they shouldn't, looks at somebody like him, says, oh, that guy must hit it really well, he and really, really far, the reason he's not winning or whatever is because of his putting. Well, that hasn't been true for, like, since he switched from the as you wrote in your blog today, the face on putting. He's been a really good putter ever since he's gone to this arm lock, straight arms, like robotic type putting thing. So it's nice to see it click for him so he could win. But I mean, he's been putting remotely close to this. It's just his irons have been off. But when you hit it that far and that straight, I mean, and you putt it that well, I mean, there's nobody's gonna stop. I mean, he broke the freaking proximity thing. He sitting so close to greens, the shot link thought that he was hitting his approach shots for like the first 3 days. It's unbelievable.
The computer couldn't understand Bryson. Now that is exactly, if you went through Masters win, Hall of Fame, all of the accolades that could follow Bryson around, the fact that he broke a computer system's probably really high up there for
he's
him
like in, Dwight, in what he's like done. Dwight Schrute trying to beat the computer at selling reams of paper, and he did. And like, this is like the main goal, is to prove that Bryson is smarter than computer and Dwight was a better salesman than a computer.
You mentioned Eminem earlier, and this popped in my head as you were talking. Is there a golfer equivalent to Eminem? Somebody that came out on the scene, you know, sold record number of CDs, whatever was out there at the time, and then his last whatever three or four albums have been close to unlistenable, I'd say is probably a universal thought. Can you think of a golfer equivalent to this? I've got one in my head. It's going to make you mad, so I'm not going to say it. I want to hear yours first.
I love this guy, but Spencer Levine.
Spencer Levine is the Eminem of the PGA Tour.
I mean, I look at it as he kind of, you know, he had the big baggy clothes back in the day. He came out, he was low AM at the US Open, was one of the better college players, you know, going when he came through, came out, and he's an absolute stud. And like I said, he's one of my favorite people on the planet, but his last couple albums haven't been great. So I'm hoping he has a little bit of a resurgence coming up.
So my answer again, you're not going to like this. And I'm saying this knowing that it's going to change because we've already seen moments in his year in 2020, but maybe it's Jordan Spieth.
God,
maybe it's Spieth. Spieth was at the highest of highs on the PGA Tour. Eminem owned music, not just rap music, but he owned music as a young man, and it's gotten tougher for him to click with people that want to listen to his music. Listen, I'm a white guy that was in high school when Eminem was quote unquote hot. I loved the guy. I mean, I was obsessed with everything he put out, and I'll download the new albums and go, this ain't it, you know?
So
maybe it's Spieth. Maybe it's Spieth. I hope Spieth hits with a new album soon.
Dang.
That's the hope for everybody. I knew you weren't going to like that. I knew that wasn't going to be something. So going back to Bryson for a moment, I mean, we all know what he did. You said he broke shot link. He hit it forever. He putted it great. I saw Justin Ray of the 15th Club, and I posted this. I wrote a piece about this.
And it's great.
It, on ShaneBaconGolf.com. That's a real website. If you go to the blog, I wrote something about Bryson. And just
it is not a breakfast menu. Not a breakfast spot. It's a blog spot.
There is a menu on there for just a random place close to your house. It just links to it, but I wouldn't eat there. But yeah, no, you know, I wrote that this has been something that Bryson has done his entire career. And Max, I wanted to ask you, being around all sorts of professional golfers, how comfortable are pros in general at tinkering, at doing things different, at adding a weird club to the bag or changing putting, knowing that they don't look as quote unquote normal or cool as they might have looked in the past? How often does this happen for pros?
I have a trillion things I could say about this Bryson stuff because it is fascinating. So pardon me if I talk about too many things redundantly, but here you go. To your question, it happens more often than not. You look at some people who are known as tinkerers. Everyone tinkers a bit. Xander today flew to Dublin, where we are, with six wedges because he messes with his bounce, because, you know, depending upon how the turf is. So there's a tinker. Now, you're not going to hear that Xander Schauffele is a tinkerer because Xander doesn't change big things. He has an incredible game plan to how to be, you know, one of the top 5 to 10 best golfers in the world. But you're still tinkering a little bit. I'll change my wedges here and there. Shoot, I might be putting in a new putter this week, which is an old putter, but I'm not a tinkerer because you don't hear about it very much. But Patrick Harrington, tinkerer. Everyone knows that. He talks about it. Tinker. The reason that you can tinker when you're out on the PGA Tour, why Bryson can tinker and kind of do all these things, is because he's really good. And so is everyone out here. Now, some people who aren't as good as Bryson, someone like me at the moment, if I tinker too much and I try and do what he's doing, I could lose a lot. I think I said this to either you or one of my buddies off of the podcast, off the line. I don't
off
know.
The line.
I don't know that he needed now, and all of this, by the way, is coming from a just a curiosity. I know he's done more research on this, so I'm not doubting anything he's done. I'm just curious. I feel like he could have gained all this speed without gaining all of this mass. Now, if he needed to gain the mass, then it's obviously working. So whatever he's doing, like, I'm not knocking anything. I'm just curious, but he did it. And that's where I was saying before, if I did that, I think I would lose a bit. Even for me, I don't drive the ball straight enough to swing that hard. I live in this comfortable range. I know that my driving distance on like the website isn't very high, but I promise you, I hit it pretty far compared to most guys on tour. I would be upper half at worst. I hit it out there, but I don't have to swing really hard to do that. Now, I won't ever get to a Bryson length off the tee because I am uncomfortable swinging full go. I don't give it a whole lot unless I'm real, real comfortable. And that's my game because I'm a very good iron player.
Who swings at full go? Like who on tour?
Well, not full, but JT lets it rip. Rory lets it rip. DJ lets it rip most of the time. Brooks lets it rip. Like you have a lot of the best players in the world let it rip. You know why? They're really freaking good. Like those are reasons. Now I'll let it rip here and there, but that's not my comfort zone. Now I'm a lot better with a six iron than a lot of people are. So that's my comfort zone. I want to be in the fairway. So Bryson tinkering with all his methods all gets lost because it's more sensationalized and put into like the headlines in the media or right. Golf Central or whatever. All of it is works because he's good. I truly don't know if he needs these single length irons. He could play with my clubs right now and be really good. He could hit the ball just as flush with all the methods because he's great at golf. Like I said before, Einstein is smarter than Bryson. He still couldn't play golf. You still need a ton of skill, ton of talent, ton of all this stuff. So he has been good at this since he was a junior. Great at this since he was a junior. Then, you know, he's had the methods and the tinkering and then this and that, but like it's always worked because he's good. And that's why it works for most all of us. Now you get people like Bryson, maybe like a Tiger who literally has changed his swing four times, who still dominated with all four swings. Do you know why? Because he's good. Like
he was already the best.
Reason. Like right. You look at people like that. You won't know the people who tinker and then lose it. That's, I guess, my thing. I switched coaches and lost it, and it has nothing to do with the coach. It just has to do with me. I was in a bubble that I controlled, and I got out of my bubble on accident and lost it. So that there's just situations where. Some people, I'm sure Bryson could tinker maybe too much and then lose it. I don't really know how this all works. You look at someone like Jordan Spieth who changed something in his golf swing. I don't know what it was. And it clearly affected his golf a bit. But I mean, there a lot of pros tinker a little bit. Everyone is almost constantly looking for a swing thought that fits. You could play with somebody one day and he stripes it. The next day he hits it a little bit different and he's looking for a new swing thought or maybe a new loft on his driver, a new shaft. I don't know what it is. I'm not a huge club tinkerer, but I'll tinker with feels because I've always played well with certain feels. So I'll go back to them. And my coach and I have a lingo. So it'll be, hey, why don't we try, one certain off season that he came out, like, why don't you try that one from 2018? I'm like, yes. Okay. And then you'll work your way through. So everyone's tinkering all the time. It's not as vocal because it's not as humongous as Bryson's. No pun intended.
It's a great point. It's Bryson goes from everything he's doing. We can see, right? I mean, if his irons are the same length, if the putters change it, if he's doing side saddle, face on, whatever he wants to call it, if he throws on 65 pounds, all these things for the golf fan are easy to see, right? They're easy for us to understand. One thing that I believe, and you can tell me if I'm wrong or not, because I mean, even you went through this earlier this year, I do feel like athletes attach themselves to ideas and then they buy into them and believe in them. If they work or if they don't, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's the placebo effect, right? I mean, you went vegetarian or pescatarian earlier this year, it was working. You were playing great golf and boom, pescatarian was the way to go. Tom Brady, you know, the way he does with his diet and the way he does his workout, he would still be an unbelievable quarterback without these things, but he leans on that because he believes that makes him the most efficient player. And I think Bryson is an unbelievable example of an athlete that buys into his own, if you will, BS a lot of the time. And the BS works. So if it works, hey, who cares? Trash talk him all you want. Roll your eyes when he says what he says. But it is effective and it is producing the results he's looking for. And, you know, I was looking through the list, Max, about players with six wins on the PGA Tour. you know, you're looking at Ricky. I mean, Leishman's up there. I mean, he's passed Hideki. There are big name players that you would think. I mean, I think Henrik Stenson only, quote unquote, only, of course, plays a lot on the European tour, but I think Stenson only has 6 PGA Tour wins. So what Bryson's been able to do in 4 years has been really impressive.
Yeah. The amount of professional golfers, and I've probably done the same thing, that have told me, though, they figured it out. And then 2 months later has a whole new thing. You know, I've had the guys go through that. Oh yeah, I just use TrackMan now only. And then right. Like 2 months later, it's like, no, I'm a feel player. And the guys
Rose
who've
did
come
that,
up,
right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, guys who come up and been like, oh, this is how you putt. I've gone to left-hand low. It's the best way to putt. And a week later, they're putting right-hand low. I mean, it's just a constant grind. Everything, though, is how much, like you said, how much you buy into it. Do you believe what you're doing? Something I'm learning from Bryson that I, you know, known, but I'm going to be much more this week off. The reason it's been so great is because a little bit of this, but it's given me time to think and plan. My golf game is great right now. It's awesome. Bad as I putt the last 3 weeks, I still literally had a chance all 3 weeks to even make a cut, which is shocking with how bad I putt it. And I know, you know, some people could say, well, blah, blah, blah. Like I'm playing really good golf. I worked on my putting a ton this past week. I feel really good about it. What I need to now do that I was realizing this past week is I need a more direct plan like Bryson has, and it can vary, but right now, you know, in my head, this is the way I'm going to do everything forever. And it's going to be a much more structured practice. It's going to be much more, a much more themed practice. There's going to be a set plan on how to do everything I do. Now, I'm not going to go, I'm not smart enough to go full Bryson, you know, as far as the math and all this goes, but I have like a new way, you know, like a different process. Joe and I are going to read greens. I have a new process. I'm going to work on things in my golf swing to make sure that they are more maintained over a longer period of time. So I do not have days where it just doesn't feel like it should. You know, I'm still not going to hit it perfect every day, but I've seen that what Bryson's done is his floor is like 5 floors above my floor. The lowest he can go in the building is still somewhere near the penthouse. The lowest I go in the building is below where the janitor stops cleaning. Like it's too low. So that's what I'm learning. And that's what Bryson has kind of mastered. But that's also what a lot of people have at some point. Rory is super, super similar. Rory hits the ball really, really far and really, really straight. Is Rory the best wedge player? No, like that's his bugaboo. But you want to see a high floor? That's Rory. We complain about him getting 6th. I mean, like, that's right. A horrible week. And everyone's like, God, his wedges are so bad. Yeah. But like, guys, he's like in 6th. And I'm not saying that's good enough for him or for what he's doing, but like, golf's pretty hard. Like the fact that his floor is that high, like that's kind of the goal in golf, is to make your bad really good. That's what Tiger, as much as he won, the most impressive thing Tiger will ever accomplish is that cuts thing. That right. is unheard of. And Bryson is doing something similar at the moment. You look at just with his top 10s in a row, that stuff's pretty wild. 6 or 7 top 10s in a row. So I think that's what people, professional golfers should learn, you know, from this whole thing where I'm never going to do all the stuff he's doing. In my opinion, it's too much. It works for him. It wouldn't work for me. Right. So, but you could learn, you got to learn something, and it's about getting better the best way you can. And I'm very, not just because of Bryson, but I feel very rejuvenated and charged up to like really get to work and really push. Cause I also think I'm a very, very hard worker. That's kind of my thing. I know people, again, I'm going to get this Twitter thing, but people on there don't think that I work very hard and I tweet too much. I work real hard. I would dare you to take a week in my shoes and see what I do. But, watching Bryson is like motivating to see, cause he must work hard. I mean, he has no minutes off. So I respect the hell out of that. I've always been a big work guy. It's why Kobe Bryant, you know, is my favorite, athlete of all time growing up. I gravitated more to his work ethic than anything. And I love that about what Bryson's doing. So it's motivating to see somebody, you know, push themselves, and I want to keep pushing myself more. And it's been cool to watch him do that. Cause I absolutely tip my cap that whether all of it he needed or not, I think he would have been great regardless. Just his absolute dedication to what he's doing is sick. Like it is.
It's impressive. And you've got to respect it. That was kind of the point about what I wrote today, was that the respect for all of us, athletes, fans, casual golf fans, casual sports fans, you have to respect what he's put in to get himself to this position, not just by winning this week. The win's great, but it's the consistency, as you mentioned. I wanted to ask you, I do want to get back to Bryson. Now I've got one more thing that I want to bring up, but I did want to ask you, you know, I've always wondered this because I'm a roller coaster of emotions with my golf game. When things are going great, like earlier this year when you were playing great and it was a top 10 every week and you had, you were in contention a couple times and then you miss a couple of cuts. How easy is it for you to want to revamp everything? And how much do you focus on not overhauling everything, knowing that it's pretty close the way you've been doing it?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, you know, after the first round at Travelers, you know, I didn't hit it great. And the week prior and the week prior to that, I hit it awesome. And obviously, I putt it horrible, all of them. So I knew I needed to work on putting. And that felt like I needed some sort of overhaul. But with the hitting, it was hard because I didn't hit it great that first day with my driver. But I literally had to go home, look at the website, the PGA Tour website, and see you just finished third in strokes gained approach. Like, it's just a little bit off on the tee. The next day I go out, I don't hit my irons quite as well, but they were still okay. And I drive the hell out of it. So it's like it does take some focus. Like, you have to look internally at times. But I think what's good is experience is great. Whether it was good experience or bad experience, I've had a pretty bad experience with golf. And one thing I learned from it is, hey, don't jump the gun on a lot of stuff. Think. So like, it may not happen right away, but I will get home, or it might be in a week or whatever. But this time it was that night and I just got home and I thought about it. I'm like, you're just mad because you shot one over. Right. If you broke down that round, it should have been six under. If you take out a horrible drive on 18 and the five or four strokes gained, I lost off the putting green. So I was like, you really think you need to change your golf swing or whatever? It's like, no, you don't. Like, shut the hell up and go back tomorrow and just do your work and
putt just better. Do what you do.
But it is hard. And I think everybody goes through that. You hear it all the time. I can't tell you. And I think almost everybody does it, but it goes away quicker when you have confidence in what you're doing, when you are seeing some results. I mean, you could say that my results haven't been great, but at the same time, like, you know, I've had areas of my game that are awesome and really improving. My short game has improved so much, which is very nice to see because I put in the most time into that in the offseason because that was the worst part of my game. So it's nice when you see those things. It's like, it's more difficult to get super bummy about what you're doing and think you need to fix everything. Because you're like, you know what? The stuff I'm working on is getting better. The stuff I'm good at is still pretty freaking good. And I feel like, again, that floor is higher for those things. And then I just need to make sure that now I have a plan. Like, I think the thing I'm most disappointed in and the thing I need to do better is it, as well as I played in the beginning of this year, week to week, what Bryson, what Rory, what Xander, what JT do, I think the best players do, is they see some success and they try to see how they can maximize it further and keep pushing. And I don't think that I didn't push to play well again, but I don't know if I looked into like how to play a lot better than I did. I was like, okay, cool. Golf game's back. I'm playing really well. Keep playing really well, because really well is going well, you know? Not saying I didn't want to win, not saying all that. I'm just saying I don't think that like the push to be like, okay, yeah, you got six, but what did you, you know, where could you have been a lot better? And let's grind the shit out of that. And then also, like, what is now my structured plan to do that? Like, mine was just to keep doing what I was doing. It's like, no, 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 no more keep doing. Like, get, like, you just made it to this little plateau or whatever, this like kind of like stop. How do you get to the next one? Like, faster. So now that's how you make your floor lower, because, or higher, because now you're going so up that even when you fall, you're now up here instead of down, you know, at the neutral or at the beginning. So, and that's what I don't think I did a great job. The quarantine thing did not help, obviously, for anybody. But I was
going to ask you that I would bet you that being in a hotel for 7 days and playing a poor opening round and you're sitting in your hotel room, it's gotta be awful. All you do is dive in a stack.
you just spin. So that's another one. That's like a learned skill is to stop
the computer
thinking
down
about that. Yeah. But I mean, that's the beauty of professional golf. You know, I think people, obviously you play a lot of golf, people play a lot of golf at home, but the beauty of professional golf is we're trying to turn a 69 to 67 and most people are just trying to shoot whatever, you know, like,
right.
I want to get better at my unders. It's like, no, I need to learn how to, I need to figure out how to shave a stroke off when I don't feel good. And how do you do that? And then again, I need to be more structured. I think that's why I'm a little energized to go do this, because I think we have a plan that I'm going to stick to better. But it's an interesting game, because it's very, very mental. And the physical obviously you need to work on, but the mental is where the battle is.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. I wanted to ask about the Bryson comments about the camera person. I have thoughts about this.
Let me hear yours.
Well, heavy lies the crown. I mean, I think I told you this on the phone yesterday, the day before, that once fans are allowed back out at PGA Tour events, I think Bryson will have the second biggest gallery after Tiger. I think that this whole driving distance thing and hitting it forever and unleashing the Kraken and everything he's saying, I think that that's going to be the casual three buddies that go to X PGA Tour event say, hey, let's go watch Bryson for three holes because we want to see the drive. And I feel like when the popularity continues to go up, your interest, the viewership, PGA Tour Live, CBS, whoever's putting on this event is going to want to show you. And I wrote this. Tiger has dealt with this his entire career. I mean, the camera's on him if he's shooting 65 or 85, and you just have to deal with it. And I feel like complaining about your brand because a camera guy's watching you hit a bad bunker shot, I mean, that's the person's job. I feel like reaming a guy for standing there with a camera, you're just doing it wrong.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to speak on was his comments after. I don't know exactly what happened. Bryson has had a reputation of being, you know, when it's going good, it's going really, really good, really well. When it's going bad, he, you know, has a bit of these types of mix-ups. I don't like to talk about other people's, like, that's his business. I have no bearing on if he gets reprimanded for that. So that's not on me. But I do want to talk about what he said, that his brand was in jeopardy. We look at brand very differently because my brand is me. So right. It's just me all the time. I know that people do their best to contrive their brand. He is clearly contriving his brand, if that's what he just said. So that has nothing. That is a fact. That's not me making something up. He is trying to contrive his brand. A lot of people do that. Almost everybody does that a little bit. My brand, I guess, technically would be I'm the funny guy. I've been on Twitter to show people that I'm the funny guy or I'm the nice guy or I'm someone who's approachable. Will I change some things around, you know, people when I'm on TV? Sure, I will. I won't say the F word. I won't cuss when I hit a bad shot. If I'm home with my buddies, I would. So that doesn't feel like a super disingenuous thing. But to say that when you have a hissy fit, that being on TV hurts your brand and it shouldn't be, I couldn't think of a more disingenuous thing to say to your fans, to your support, because or just to golf, anyone watching, you should either not slam the sand or know that you could then after if something goes wrong
or wear it,
just say, you know what, I messed up. And I talked about this with somebody else. Sergio Garcia is a lovely guy. I really like him. I don't know him really well, but I've never had a time where we've walked by each other and he did not say hi to me first. And that's honestly, that's a big deal out here. There's so many people that are just, you know, idols. And like, I don't know him, but he'll say, what's up, Max? Like, it's just a nice thing. It's nice. Bryson does the same thing to me, but I've known Bryson, but he does the same thing. He's a nice guy. Sergio, I feel like, has had a very similar so far path, or Bryson had a similar path to Sergio as far as these little hissy fits go.
Right.
Everybody knows about the Sergio slamming the bunker thing. It was over the top. And you know what he did after? He said, that was my bad. Like, I can't do that. You know, and he took the thing. I'm not saying that I condone it. None of that do I condone. But he's had many more. He spit in the cup. He did all the things. But every time he's apologized after, that's all he's done after. But he's apologized after, right after. What Bryson did was say that it's not his fault. It's the camera guy's fault.
Right.
That's where I have a significant issue with what you're saying. Because that's another man's job. Let the dude just work. That's what he's been told to do. You don't need to talk to him. I don't know what was said, but if what he said was being said, I don't really get it because I don't like hissy fits at all. I'd be lying if I said I've never had one. I don't like hissy fits at all. I try not to do them. I wish they didn't happen. I do think it's entertaining to watch. Like, I liked watching it, if I'm being honest, but I'd like it even if it was, you know, if I watched a video of myself doing it.
Right.
But it's the response to it. I don't vibe at all. I think you need to say, sorry, I'm going to be better and move on. And if you actually are, that's great. If not, I can't, who I don't know, not who cares. You might lose some fans, some followers, whatever, but that's kind of my take on it. I have another thing, you could go ahead, but I have another thing about this whole fan thing, too, after.
Well, all I'm saying is, listen, a little behind the scenes here, the camera person that is filming Bryson is filming Bryson because he's being told in his ear, stay on Bryson, because the cameras move immediately to where they're going next once they're told to move. I mean, that's, again, like you said, that's somebody's job. That person is filming you because you have become the story of this event. You were the favorite in the story before it started. And if you have a bad hole, that's part of golf. I mean, I've acted like a psycho on the golf course. You've acted like a psycho on the golf course. Every time we do it, we feel like asses after, yeah, and we're never proud of the way we acted. And if some guy films me with his cell phone at Papago throwing a club and it makes it on Twitter, I can't go, wow, what the hell's wrong with that guy for posting that? No, I'm the guy that threw the club.
Yeah.
And you gotta wear it, man. Everybody gets frustrated. Rory threw a club in the lake. We've all done it. Tiger threw clubs. Everybody's done it. My point is, I love what you said there, and I think what you said is so solid. It is about wearing it, and don't blame other people if you are having a moment. I mean, because again, there's nothing wrong with flipping out in a bunker. Do you wish it didn't happen? Yes. But every player has had their moment.
Yeah, it's technically harmless. Yeah.
Exactly. The problem is after, if you say, I wish you wouldn't have filmed me, that's on my brand. That's where you lose me. And that's, to me, again, Bryson is so close to being this massively popular guy, if he's not already there. Those are the comments to me that is the hike in Everest thing, man. It's two steps forward and three steps back. Don't say anything or apologize, and you are a huge winner all weekend long. But you have this one little comment that I feel like is being brought up on a podcast like this after we praise the guy for how well he played for 4 days.
100%. I think, too, with brands, having a genuine brand, as I mentioned, I think it is important for just times like this. When you're a multi, you know, millionaire winner, like just stud, like Bryson is, like a lot of these guys are, where you will, your brand actually does matter. My brand means nothing. Like, it literally means nothing, because my brand is just how well can I play for right now. When you get bigger, your brand actually matters, right? So, for instance, the top guys have their brand. Brooks's is essentially very, very cool. Like he is a cool guy. It's that golf might not be the most important thing in the world, but he's going to dominate when it matters. That's his brand. And he's built that brand himself. Like, he's done a great job. Dustin's is kind of like a little bit like, what is it, laissez-faire, like, you know, I'm just going to play really good. You know, that's his brand, and that's who he is. Ricky Fowler, who has, I think, the best brand on tour as far as, you know, raking in sponsorships or whatever that fit him. His is, you know, I'm a wild, you know, wild risk taker guy, like motocross guy for Red Bull thing. And I'm going to do a lot of, commercial spots, because I'm very like kind of, he's a personable guy. He's someone you would want to hang out with. You know why it works and why it's so lucrative for Ricky? Because that is exactly who he is. If you were to come up to him and somehow get to meet him, like at a tournament, if you're a fan, he would give you all the time, like all the attention that you would want from him. Same with Phil. That's why Phil's brand has been just like the new Arnold Palmer, essentially. Where Bryson's is a little different is Bryson's brand is his genius, is his mind. It is fascinating. And his golf, obviously, but all these, the golf is obvious for all these people. So for when he says, I want my brand to be shown as this, it's kind of not fair, because I feel like very many other people's brands are so much more based on who they are.
Right.
Not so much on what they do outside of golf or kind of like on the tangent of golf, on the edge of golf, which for him is like tinkering it and like figuring out a new way to like get better. Like, his brand is very specific to that, where, like, again, Ricky's brand is that, like, he's the fun loving guy, you know. Jordan even is another decent guy. He's very corporate. So you, and I think Jordan's a great guy, but Jordan has been, a freaking prodigy since he was 11. Like, that's right. His other brand, you know? So, like, Bryson's, I feel like, I that's why I don't like hearing that's my brand. Like, don't hurt my brand. It's like, come on, man, your brand's you. But I feel like it might be a disconnect because I think he may think his brand is in like the intellect thing, which it is, but your brand technically comes down to, am I, a fun guy. And I think he is a nice guy. I think he is. But when you have these blow ups like this, it's more like how you react to it than it is that you had a blow up. And it's okay. Everyone's had a blow up. Like you mentioned, I do have something to say about this fans thing that I was thinking about. I think that in sports, like we have, and obviously in this case, golf, people are either, for some reason, it's like binary. You're either a fan of someone or you're not a fan of someone. You're either a Max Homa fan or you're not a Max Homa fan. You're either a Tiger Woods fan or you're not a Tiger Woods fan. You know, you're back in the day, you were either a Tiger fan or a Phil fan. So Bryson, like I'm reading on Twitter, like, Akash, I'm just not a fan of this guy. Or, you know, I am a fan of this guy, but I hate when he does this. Or I am a fan of this guy. I love it. Like, I love seeing it. I don't think that we all, like, things need to be so cut and dry as far as fan and not fan. I think there needs to be like, I love watching him play golf. And I think a ton of people do because it is absolutely captivating. We have talked for 40 minutes about another guy on the PGA Tour because it's captivating. It's really, right. really interesting. I'm trying to put myself in the fans and fans of golf shoes. I am a fan of golf, but I'm trying to put myself in a space where I don't know anything about anything. Right. And it's like, man, I really want to see this guy at a driver. I really want to see what he does. I really want to see if he blows up in this bunker. I really want to see if he yells at this camera, like all this stuff. Or I don't know if he yelled at him, but like, I want to see this, like this so captivating. Does that mean that I have to say, because he does a couple things I don't like, that I'm not a fan of his? Well, no, but do I have to now say I am a fan then if I'm not? Well, no, but I love watching him. Even if you were a Phil guy back in the day, how could you not love watching Tiger and vice versa? If you were a Tiger, how could you not love watching Phil? Like, but you didn't have to say you were a fan of him. But for some reason, maybe it's because most sports are team, that it's like, I'm a Lakers fan, so I hate the Celtics. I have to. It's in the rule book, you know? I'm a Dodger fan. I cannot stand the Giants. It is in the rule book. I can't be a fan of anyone on that team. I'm not allowed to. I'm a fan of my guys, you know, in the blue and white. In golf, I feel like we're watching it to be entertained. It goes to my tweet that I said about the fairway thing. Like, it's not as entertaining. Like, I'm just watching to be entertained. Now, again, my favorite golfer is me. So, like, you know, maybe that's a little bit different, you know, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that you should have to be so like, so cut and dry with like, oh, I'm a Bryson fan or I'm a Max fan. It's like, you could just love watching him play golf.
Yeah. But I feel like what Bryson's doing and why it's so important for the PGA Tour in general is the fact that Bryson is the polarizing guy that you like or don't. And when you think about the PGA Tour, you know, if you and I were going to run through names basically since Tiger, you know, and you're going to have Vijay, Ernie, Phil, maybe Furyk for a bit. Luke Donald had a run at number one, but I mean, he didn't have that Q rating, if you will, as high as those guys. Adam Scott blew up for a while. You know, he won the Players and he was this young, handsome Australian guy. But I feel like since Spieth, even including Koepka, and this is no knock to Koepka, I just think you encapsulated who he is as this very cool athlete that's unbelievable at golf. I feel like since Spieth, Bryson's the first athlete, the first golfer that makes us pick a side. And I think the guys that make us pick a side, Sergio's one of them, is really important. You know, you, in my opinion, and I mean, I'm good friends with you and I do a podcast with you, but you to me are a can't miss in terms of who wants to be a fan. And I know we'll get to Twitter in a minute. We'll get to social media in a minute. But you know, to me, when somebody talks about Max Homa, to me, it seems like a layup. Good guy, great story, grounded, fun, nice, unbelievable. Won on the PGA Tour, is going to win again very, very
not
soon.
Hairy
maybe in a few
arms,
days.
Like just
not,
super
you know,
smooth.
Made the cover of Golf Digest, may or may not have good, a good or bad thing for his career, can grow a mustache. I mean, you have a lot of things that I feel like are easy to attach to. And I feel like your quota of negatives isn't very high. With Bryson, you see the thing this week with the camera person and it adds to the no list. And I think that's big for golf.
Totally.
And I think that's why he's so important for the PGA Tour. But I've talked enough about Bryson. I want to...
Wait, let me say one more thing, dude, because okay. I think that's okay. A very good point. I think the difference is with a lot of people is I would argue that Rory has had a lot of division in his camp, but not because of Rory. I think everyone likes Rory as a person,
right? Right.
As far as like watching golf, like he's never really had a, you know, even when he threw the club in the water, it was like, you know, a blip in the
radar. Rarely has anything you can't like about him.
Exactly.
Right.
His division is, can he win a Masters? Can he be Tiger? Can he be, you know, that's your division. That's what's talked, been a lot of talk. But even when you had Tiger, legacy
debates, right?
Even when you had Tiger, it was like, can he get to Jack? Like that was the debates with Bryson for some reason. Well, I mean, I guess not some reason, but with someone like Bryson, a lot of it is, do you like Bryson? It's like, right. I don't care. I just want to watch him play golf. Like that's, I don't know. Like it's back when the Tiger scandal happened. Tiger is my favorite golfer by a mile. I mean, Jordan Spieth's getting close, but by a mile, Tiger is the reason I play golf. And I would go over to, you know, like a girlfriend's house. I think Lacey's grandmother is a huge Phil Mickelson fan. And she goes, oh, who's your favorite golfer? I love Phil Mickelson. I was like, oh, you know, my favorite golfer growing up was Tiger. Again, I just said like, I'm my favorite golfer, but, you know, it's Tiger. Oh my gosh. And she like looks at Lacey basically like, how can you do that? Like, don't you know
what's wrong,
like,
with this guy?
I watch golf. Like I, everyone's business is their business. Bryson's business is his business. Like, that's what I'm saying is like, and it's, you could be obviously whatever you want to be as far as these things go. But like, I'm watching sports to be entertained. You know, if something really bad comes out about LeBron James, I'm watching basketball to watch him play basketball. Like I can separate and compartmentalize those in my head. I when I say someone's my hero, I mean the certain areas of them. Like the stuff I look up to is work ethic, you know, their athletic achievement, like very surface things. I don't know about a lot of these people. I don't know a lot about these people on the PGA Tour. I know about my thing. I do my thing, you know? So like, I guess my point is that maybe just like, you know, if you're struggling with that fan or no fan, or do I like it? It's like, don't feel like you have to lean into, I'm not a fan because I don't like the stuff he does, because I think that's going to draw you away from watching him. And I do think that watching him is fun for everyone. And because to your point, it is polarizing. Like what you watch him for a week, you're going to see a couple things you like, a couple things you don't like. But it's going to be entertaining. It's like watching a TV show or a movie, like something that's very fun. So that's more why I'm kind of bringing up that point.
Yeah. You know, I will say, I don't know if I've laughed out loud, LOL'd, if you will, at a drive.
Dude, it's wild.
Bryson's drive on 18 on Sunday, I laughed.
God,
I
think that's so good. My God, that was so good.
I think it's the first time since that Bubba drive on 13 at the Masters. Remember the line Bubba took where he just hit it over everything
over
and it
trees.
Was that wedge in? And I remember just when they, I remember on Masters.com, I think No Lane Up posted a screen grab of the line he took. And, you know, it's one of those, I mean, like,
yeah, like come on,
just
dude.
Going, what are you doing?
Yeah, come on.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
I got to ask, Max, you're again, talking about your popularity. You got all these things going for you. And now word is out of your camp. I'm hearing from your agents
yeah,
and your... And your managers and your chef and your pilot, all these people are letting me know, done with Twitter for a little bit.
So I'm not, I guess I'm not done with Twitter, but I'm not going to tweet anything but blah, boring people stuff for a while.
Can you give me a boring tweet example? Real
yeah,
quick?
I'll write one, but I was just, you know, I'm going to write one tomorrow when I get my pairing. I'm going to say, oh, playing with, you know, Shane Bacon and Joel Damon, two classy guys. Can't wait for a great week. You know, let's hope we make more birdies and bogeys, something like that.
What hashtag? What's the hashtag for that?
Golf. Hashtag,
okay, I love that.
Hashtag, no. Under
no,
par.
Golf. Perfect. Golf.
Hashtag golf.
Golf's the one.
So I'm still going to tweet. I'm still going to be on Twitter. I still like Twitter. I've decided that my brand, at least for a while, is no longer Twitter. My brand is going to be being fucking awesome at golf. So I've decided that. And I the reason, though, it came to a head is Twitter has been a disgusting pit. Yeah. Twitter has been a disgusting pit for a little bit. As people know, I've been doing a horrible job, especially on my off weeks. And when I miss a cut, of going into like comment sections of things that have nothing to do with me, just, you know, politics and everything. And it's just, it makes, and I started to notice this week that it kind of makes me like anxious about everything. And that, but there's so little sports to watch and talk about that that's where my brain goes. And I'm thinking about, and it's almost like depressing here and there. So where it all came to a head was this weekend, or, you know, Sunday, I tweeted something about, you know, golf or something. People were not being, I mean, oh, by the way, I need to preface this. Like 95% of you guys are awesome. And this has nothing to do with the bulk, but there's just a couple people that are driving me nuts. This guy, Tony Bowles. Yeah, I don't think he listens to this. The guy follows me and tells me I'm the worst Twitter guy and I suck and I'm
why don't you,
whatever.
Why don't you mute him?
Because I don't want him to ever know that he has that.
But if you,
I want to keep
mute him,
he'll
never know that.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Okay. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I'm with you, but he's an
idiot. I can be your Twitter manager if you want.
Yeah. So, but it's someone like that. Like I have to keep seeing it. And does it affect me? Like, do I take any stock in it? Absolutely not. Like that guy and these people who have been like to do this repeatedly, where I know that it's like, you know, this is like your thing, to be like, whatever, like a troll or something. It is like, they are a fly in like my garbage can. Like I know they're there, but it really doesn't bug me. But I will say that as I thought about it this weekend, the more I read, it just can't be healthy to read. It can't be healthy to read that you know, you aren't very good. Are you even a professional golfer anymore? I mean, I've missed this is my third missed cut since August of last year, or October last year, something like that. Yeah, I'm really bad at this. So, but it just can't be healthy to have to keep, like, you know, rolling my eyes at something. So,
of course.
So, again, where it really came to a head was I tweeted, the last tweet I wrote about this golf thing was, I said, I think fairway should be more important. Fairway should be more important, in my opinion. That was the tweet. I got called probably no less than 15 to 20 times a little whiny, jealous bitch who needs to just either start to hit it further or make more birdies. And I will. Granted, my tweet was partially from watching Bryson DeChambeau play. I mean, he was in the final group. That's why I was watching golf for the first time that week. I didn't know why the scores were so low. And I watched him again miss like the first three or four fairways. And a couple, not close. The one-on-one was a good drive. It just went in the left rough. That was a good drive. I can differentiate between a 360-yard bomb, 2 yards in the rough, and then the three what he hit on two was horrible, right? The drive he hit on three, I heard somebody say great drive, and it's in the left trees because that was the angle he's looking for. And then four, he hit one way, way left and then hit an incredible shot over the trees up next to the green. Do I think that that's a ton of skill? 100%. You could look through these podcasts, you can look through my Twitter. I think Bryson DeChambeau is awesome at golf. But as I watched that round of golf, as a fan of golf, I was like, man, this is really boring to watch because I'm watching the most interesting driver of the golf ball right now and maybe ever for like a segment of time. I'm watching this guy play and it kind of feels like unless he hits it out of bounds off the tee, it doesn't really matter. He could just hit it as far as he wants because the fairway or not didn't matter. I've played the same way. So it's for the guy who said, not idiot, sorry, not being mean. For the guy who said that I only hit 1% more fairways than Bryson, so what am I arguing? I'm not arguing about me versus Bryson. Bryson is better than me at golf right now. He has 5 more wins than me. He is like 70 better in the world ranking points than me right now. Like, do you think I'm 74th in the world right now. There's 72 others besides Bryson, people that I need to get better than. So this isn't just an attack on one guy, and it wasn't an attack at all. But as I watched that golf, I'm like, man, this is really just seems not fun to watch. Like, I wasn't being entertained. So you can, sure, I'm a whiny bitch. Like, that's what I was doing. I was whining. I even had to text DJ Pye and say, hey, I need a third party unbiased opinion. Is this a whiny comment? And he says, absolutely not. He said, this is just a discussion topic. And I was like, thank you. That's all I felt. I wanted fairways to matter for me. For Bryson and for everyone else on the tour, I want fairways to matter more as I watch this round of golf. Will that make it worse on me because I only hit 1% of fairways and 40 yards shorter than Bryson? Yeah, it's going to make it harder. That's okay. That's what I'm like that as I'm watching golf, that's what I wanted to see more of. So my gosh, like, so it just, again, it's Twitter is bad for the fact that I can't get my point across like I can. That's why I love this podcast. So I can actually like speak with, you know, out of limit on characters. As you guys see, we go long on this every time. so I can speak freely and explain myself because, and again, to other people, people have written things and that I've taken wrong. And I feel so bad when I do it because it's like, man, he didn't mean to do that. I jumped on him. I didn't read it through. I can't keep reading the comments that aren't well informed, that people just jump on something that isn't what I meant. And I do think that at times I explain it like, or I don't say it perfectly. So like you could take it the wrong way. But I think in this case, I literally wrote, I think fairway should be more important in my opinion.
And people are still yelling.
It was about watching Bryson. It had nothing to do with Bryson. Like Also, by the way, just this is kind of near my worst things I heard this week. Never argued that if we had persimmon clubs, he wouldn't still be the longest. Not sure where that comes from. What I tweeted, to all your arguments about calling me whatever, that I'm like, you know, soft, I should practice more, that I should just like get better at golf. Like, yeah, I still think the fairway should be more important. That's my opinion. Like that's all it. I was writing about. So yeah. So it basically just burnt me out. And I don't feel bad. I don't think people care that much what I actually tweet about. I just feel, I feel dumb for doing this for so long and having to read it. Cause I just don't think it's healthy to read negative stuff about yourself. I don't believe a word of it, but it just can't be good for your psyche to keep reading about, oh my, like, I mean, I don't know if it's because golf's the only thing on. I meant to mention this last week. Because even Lacey brought it up. I don't know if it's because golf is the only thing on or because the DFS community, the daily fantasy community, is more involved with
are they golf coming at right you now. All the time?
But it's just, and it's for good and bad. I mean, I'm over like the beef with that whole thing. Like, I get it better. Like, it just is what it is. It's, a lot of people aren't really that mean. But I will say that, like, in the last couple weeks, especially, maybe it was I was playing better earlier, but I'm missing cuts. I mean, dude, just like constant tweets about how I'm letting the team down and what this and that. And again, I don't care because like that you're a bad gambler if you're doing that, but it just can't be healthy to keep reading this stuff. And even, like I said, even my wife pointed out, she's like, this is a lot, like this is crazy. And last night I showed her all the tweets people wrote about my, you know, fairway should be more important in my opinion. And she's like, yeah, you got it. She laughed. She's like, how are you still on this? And I was like, all right, cool. Like,
Delete the app, baby.
So I'm going to do very sarcastic. I'm not going to delete it because I also don't want to lose. I like Twitter, man. Like, I like learning about sports stuff. Like, I like that, you know, that's where I got this, the info that Patrick Mahomes is going to get, you know, paid. Like, I like knowing stuff quick and early. And I like, you know, I like golf Twitter, getting to read all the funny stuff, you know, you will write and Andy Johnson and DJ and No Laying Up and Tron, like all the guys. Like, I like reading all that stuff during golf tournaments and all the like kind of funny little quips people have. KVV, like one of my favorite people to follow. Like, I like that stuff. So I don't want to put it away, but I just realized that this stuff that makes me not enjoy it is, or where I actually think it might be a development thing for me, like it's not helping, is I should not be reading so much hate on me. And like, yeah. I said, 95% of it's great. And I think everyone just has a harder time. If you had 3,000 great comments and one bad one, you'd think about the bad one. I think it's always human nature. And so I appreciate everybody that's been so cool, but like, it's the 5% I'm like, you know what? I'm really not the funny Twitter guy. I'm the guy who's 74th in the whole freaking world at golf, and I want to be number one at this. And I, like I said, maybe this week energized me more, but like, I have a better plan to do this. So it just, I think Twitter finally beat me down, but I, like I said, I'm not going to delete the app. I'm not that strong. I need to read. I need that. That's my source of info.
deleting all the social apps. So when the Fox News came out,
I checked
Twitter probably, maybe half an hour after. And one of the first tweets replied, I think it was Doug Ferguson's report AP, said, loved watching Shane Bacon do his thing at Fox. Up and a rising star. Now back to the basement. Sad to see.
Oh,
and I went, well, I guess I'm going to need to delete Twitter for a little bit because I don't want to read all this stuff. And it is so funny that, and how our minds work like this, that one negative can
it's
linger
sad,
from
yeah.
a random person, and you can get all this praise from all these people all the time, and you get one negative thing, and that's the one that ruins your day.
Well, like, I wish there was a way. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I wish there was a way to not let that stuff affect us. You know, I wish, I'm with you. It does it to me too. I mean, Twitter can beat me down just like it can beat you down because, like you said, five people say something. Can you imagine what women go through on social media?
Well, that's what I was about
to
say.
I can't even fathom this.
Because our friend Paige Sporanic, I mean, she has complained.
Oh.
But before even her podcast was out, like, she would complain about, rightfully so, about these mean comments in her Instagram. And before I'd ever read her comments, I imagined that they were just very objectifying and rude. And then I went in her comments. I was like, oh my God, like, I feel good about myself. And she's a beautiful woman. And like, I felt good for her about how nice people were, but then you'd see one mean one. And it's easy for me or someone else to be like, come on, you just got 100 nice things, like really nice things said about you, the most beautiful woman in the world. You're blah, blah, blah. You know, people say to me, you're the most handsome guy I've ever seen in my life. Like, oh my God. Like,
people always say that to
you. If I could be you with the hair on their arms like you, like I would trade it right now. Like people say it all the time to me, but it just takes one guy to call me a Yeti and it hurts. So with her, like, I realized, I was like, I gotta realize that stuff sinks in more. And that's kind of what I'm seeing is like, it might be because you guys, people are too nice, but like, I'll read a bunch of nice things, haha, and then I'll see one that just sticks out that's different. And I'm like, wait, what? And then that makes me not, like, again, it doesn't like actually affect me like on the like deep down, but it does, if it makes you stop, like why
it lingers.
Like, yeah, if it's lingering, if it makes you think about it for a half a second, if you have to even tell yourself, no, I don't suck, like I am good. It was already a waste of energy, especially because honestly, those people who would just come out and do this stuff for fun, like this guy, Tony, like he's just a scummy dude. So like he thinks it's so funny. I don't think it's funny. Even me talking about it, he's going to think like, oh my gosh, I really like got to him. You right. didn't, you're just an example of what not to be. And like why I just would rather, you know, say my funny stuff I think of to you or to DJ. Like, you know, DJ and I talked, we've been talking a lot because we're actually doing the Sopranos thing that you and Randy bailed on. No big deal. And we're still doing it. So we've been talking all the time about stuff. And yesterday we were talking about golf and a lovely conversation. All these things that I would have tweeted, I just sent to DJ. And
send
we
had a friend.
Blast. Yeah. Way more fun. So not worth we saying something about fairways. 95% of people saying, oh my gosh, I agree, or I don't agree, but like, you know, being a respectful human being, you don't have to agree, obviously. And rather than 5% be telling me that I'm jealous of Bryson DeChambeau. I'm not jealous. He's better at golf than me right now. I noticed that, like with all the winning and stuff, like I've noticed.
The trophies help. God. By the way, real quick, our friend Paige Brannick, who Max just mentioned, has a podcast on iHeartRadio. It's called Playing Around with Paige Renee. So
you guys get it?
That.
It's almost as witty as ours.
ours. Well, how about our initial name we thought about?
I really like that one.
That
man.
One was blowing people's mind. Unfortunately, it was already a podcast.
So Shane,
name
do
that.
You have a flight? Flights?
I have a dumb idea that I think's not a dumb idea.
I can't
hear it.
I love these.
So I was playing today, as we mentioned. And I'm married. No big deal. No
wow.
Big deal. Yeah. Got married. I'm wearing my wedding ring and I play with my, do you fiddle with your wedding ring still? What are you like? Six and a half months in?
I play around with it. Shout out. Paige
hey,
Renee.
Nice. It should be on Paige podcast. Renee.
But I mean, I play with it. Are you asking if I play golf?
Do you
it
like
on?
Fiddle with it? I'm
oh,
saying
I
you
fiddle with it all
it.
The time.
Okay.
I'm
so I fiddle with it all the time. Why don't we mark our balls on the green with our wedding ring? It's right there. You don't have to have a coin in your pocket.
Whoa.
Is this a terrible idea? I mean, I know it's raised.
It's two raised. That's the...
But
that's
no. But listen, at this point, are you kidding me with the ball markers? I mean, I see people with like a wireless router out there marking the ball with it. And you're telling me that my wedding ring is too obnoxious?
This is huge talking point on tour. Like one of the biggest, like, you became a pro when... Like was when the first time a veteran told you, listen, kid, like your markers too big. I had it happen. Not everyone, but a lot of people have had it happen. You bring the poker chip out. The veteran goes, listen, dude, you can't use that. And then you're like, okay, cool. And now I use a very small silver coin. Like that's a stepping stone. Yeah. So yeah.
Just
I
would say, use
you
know, coin.
But you could be right in the amateur scene or in the day-to-day scene where use the ring, man.
So you're playing twosomes.
For us.
Well, hold on. You're playing twosomes. You and Xander, you're tied for the lead going into Saturday. There's only two guys and you're marking with your wedding ring, which is smaller than a quarter, I'd say. Now it's more raised.
It's a lot more
which
raised.
Could be obnoxious, but I mean, all you got to do is move it. I'm telling you, if you did this 1 week on tour, which I know you're not going to do, and I'm not even suggesting anyone do it on tour, but if you did it on tour, it would be like 95 stories written about
this.
Oh,
yeah.
Can you believe what Max Mahoma used for his ball marker? You know what? If you ever lose your coin, or if you don't have a coin in your bag, you've got a backup, buddy, and it's on your finger.
Is marking your ball on the putting green technically marrying the game, being married to the game? Married to the green? Are you married to your read now? Like, are you marrying line and speed?
God, if I was broadcasting you and you put your wedding ring, really married to this line, it would be an easy one to do.
He looks engaged. He's not as engaged as he was a moment ago. I think he's lost a little focus.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back.
Do you have any flights?
I have a best thing I heard this week, and this is with a bit of a heavy heart. Best thing I heard this week is, sadly, no fans at Memorial next week. You know, we're here for 2 weeks. Next week is the actual, you know, the Memorial people are you know, accustomed to. This is the work day this week. The reason I say it's the best thing I heard this week, it sucks. It does. But it seems way too early to be having fans. We're still trying to figure out this bubble thing that we're not, that hasn't been going, you know, perfectly to plan. So when I heard that, I was like, okay, at least, you know,
good decision.
It's a good decision. So again, it's not the best thing to say. It doesn't make me super happy, but I think it's a good decision. It was nice to hear. The worst thing I heard this week, well, I think I kind of had a couple, but I think I said one earlier, but
I saw somebody on Twitter that mentioned the fairway should be more important. Yeah. I hate that
what
guy.
What an idiot. This is not technically, I mean, this is technically about Bryson, but this is just an argument that I was thinking about that came up with this Bryson thing, that people were saying, yeah, I'm not so sure if this is going to work at Augusta though. Like, cause you know, his iron game hasn't been great and you need great irons there. First of all, I'm going to say that it's probably still fine. I haven't been, but I'm sure it's still fine. Also, I don't know why everyone's career, again, this is where it's the not Bryson part. It's the Martin Keimer trying to play a draw to win Augusta. Why people will talk about so much stuff like about, you know, can this guy win at Augusta? Like I know why. It's the most important term of the year. But if you won every other tournament and not the Masters, I'm sure it would be heavy, but like you wouldn't change your game. Like,
no,
it's working. So again, I would love to win the Masters more than any golf tournament in the world, but like, if I'm dominating everywhere else, I'm not going to fiddle to make sure that it works at the Masters and then with risking everything else. Now, if I knew that it wouldn't, like it would be okay. But like, so I've just never really understood that argument. Like, yeah, he's playing good now, but like, can it work at the Masters? Like, first off, I think, yeah. I mean, like, the field's the least, like it's honestly the easiest field of majors because you only have like 90 people and a few are, you know, the past champions who are a bit older now. So like Bryson's going to be, I'm assuming, in the mix a little bit. And also, like, I just don't get why it is such a talking point, I guess. Also, along the lines of that and why people say he won't be so great at Augusta, people have kind of brought out maybe the single length irons might not be the way. First off, like, they're working really well. And second off, how about just the idea that he's hitting at 390 yards and then has to tone down an iron, though? Like, that's another skill I'm sure he's trying to perfect. Like, but I don't think it has anything to do with the actual irons. Like, dude, like it's been like a month of professional golf back. Like, imagine swinging as hard as you, or at such a high speed, and then needing to lock in like a 7-iron chip, you know, flighted chip shot. Like, it's just the mechanics of it are hard, and he's doing obviously a tremendous job of it. So like, I hated listening to that because I'm like that. Rory is an unbelievable driver of the ball. He's a pretty like blah wedge player. Like, that's kind of the only rip you could ever find about his game. The reason is because his technique for the driver isn't good for the wedges. Like, that's the only reason. It's not
what
that
makes
work
him
on
a great
it.
Driver.
Yeah,
actually,
so is he
going to
give one up
player.
Because it's working? So like, Bryce, I'm sure we'll find a way. Rory has found a way to hit his wedges a lot better. Like, but like, this stuff takes like a time, like time, like it's not.
Yeah. By the way, I couldn't agree with you more. You know what? It's, I'm going to tell everybody out there, if he plays like he played the last 4 weeks, he's going to be in the contention on Sunday at the Masters. I have a new thing Bryson might do. You want to hear it? So we see him do all this stuff and it makes headlines. I was thinking about this today. How many clubs in his bag do you think he really hit this week?
Oh, that's a great question. I was kind of curious. Like, there's no way the 6-iron got a ton of play. Like, so, there's just no way.
What if he just came out and was like,
I thought about that. 8 wedges.
Driver, no 3-wood. Maybe a 3-wood, whatever. But maybe like a 5-iron, a 7-iron, and then just all the degrees of wedges.
Yeah, like all the way up. Be the first guy to have a 54, a 56, a 58, and a 60.
And a 62 and a 64. And a 60, like, 64. What if he just went all out? Like, his bag was just wedges, a couple of irons, and a driver.
How far do you think he hits a 60-degree wedge?
Oh, my. I mean,
full go?
Full go 60. He probably hits it 115.
But it spins back to 100.
Yeah, it spins back to 100. Yeah, it's like how Rory used to do
wedges.
That'd
be so sick if there was a pin front edge and it was 100 and you just flew one to the very back edge at 115 and just spun it all the way
back
down the hill.
Max, this was Rory from like 2015 to 2017. If it was a back pin, he was going to have a 25 footer up the hill at it. And if it was a front pin, he was going to rip it up close. And let me just say, I loved when Rory figured out the half wedge thing. It was a very big moment for me. That's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I'm really excited to be out these couple weeks. I love Muirfield Village where we're playing. Like, it's one of the coolest courses we play. The facility's a joke. It's going to be interesting. I heard some of the tees are going to be up this week because we are playing this course back to back, and you can't have so many divots in the same spot. And I'm curious how that's going to play. It's going to be quite soft, so I think it might get eaten up a little bit. So it's going to be, honestly, it's going to be kind of funny. It's like the most lucrative practice round I've ever played this week. So, you know, just playing for like, I don't know, it's like $1 million or so, and then I'm play here again for
play
like
here
the bigger
next
one,
week.
Like $1.5 million. So I'm excited to be out here. I really like Ohio and Columbus area for sure. I'm not exactly a Buckeye, but I do like this city. I'm excited for the week. I, like I said, I'm a little rejuvenated and feel pretty good about the golf, and I'm playing a golf course that I do enjoy quite a bit. So I think it'll be cool, and it'll be nice to be able to do a podcast like from here, like right after I'm done. You know, I don't have to worry about getting on a plane.
Hey, real quick, if you were going to Vegas set your odds, Max first week versus Max second week, lower finish, who do you think's the favorite?
Well, the favorite in Vegas have to be the first week, because I think that the field might be a little bit.
Okay.
No, actually, the field's really good. I don't really know. I'm going to say, knowing me, this is the slowest learner ever. It's going to be probably the second week, unfortunately.
So but you're I'll like tell a, you maybe 1.5 favorite on next
week. Yeah, I would say next week might be a better week because I'll pick up on the course. But I don't know. I think if I go 1-1, I think that's pretty good. It's hard.
Would be good. I have a challenge for you for these 2 weeks. I want you to. I mean, people listening to this podcast are going to pick up on this. I want you to wear the exact same outfits.
Oh,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the next week, Thursday, Friday,
okay.
Saturday.
But let's just say, heaven forbid I play not good the first tournament. I'm going to flip them. I'm going to go complete opposite to start the week.
You're going to go Sunday reset. Red on Thursday.
Yeah, well, not red, but Sunday.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying. That's, you know, yeah, that's your Sunday. Your Sunday red is like,
I can't talk about red.
Your Sunday red is just like a really light gray. It's like what the Travis Matthew red is like, I wore a white Travis Matthew shirt today when I played, and I was just looking at it in the mirror. I went, this is the perfect Travis shirt.
Yeah.
It got a little gray. It's got a very light blue and a lot of white. All in. I simple is
gray
the way to
accents.
Go.
That's Travis Matthew way. Very,
that is the way to go. Play well this week. I'm excited
Thank
to
you.
Watch.
Congrats on getting through.
What's your milkshake go-to? Will you have
I hope
a
we still have
one?
Them. I hope we still have them. The I like Buckeye's the peanut good. Butter. Yeah, the Buckeye is supposed to be pretty good. The peanut butter, I just like the peanut, you know, the Reese's peanut butter type one. I mean, it's just hard to beat. So, you know what? I'll keep a tally for the week.
Instagram story it. You got to do it. Get into the aggregate. Hey,
there's
that's
a tweet right there. There's a boring tweet. Oh, Mr. Nicholas, you know, I love coming to the at Memorial Golf Tournament because of the milkshakes.
Please do me this favor. I say, I ask you, I ask
I'll
a lot
do
of
this
dumb
one.
Shit.
I have a feeling this Listen, one won't be ridiculous.
Ask a lot of really dumb shit from you. Can you please use the hashtag golf on
yeah,
all
I'll
your
use
stuff
golf on
as
everything.
A boring, when you're yeah. boring tweet, just hashtag yes. golf everything.
I'm in. I'm all in. I'll do one tomorrow when I get my pairing.
That's Max Homa. You can follow him on Twitter at MaxHoma23 for all of the inside information you're going to want this week at Muirfield Village. All the in-depth tweets, funny ones. I would follow him right now if you don't do that already. Play well. Let's see some birdies. I'm excited to see this new putter.
Thanks, Shane. I hope you have a great week. Look forward to talking to you on Sunday. Hashtag golf. Hope everybody washes their hands.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.